Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. I feel like I show this as part of my show and tell, like once a year, but there's so much cool about it. So this is the Bible that I got from my church when I was in third grade. Whoa, yeah. So Covenant also has a tradition of giving third graders Bibles. That's like when Jesus gave Bibles out, I guess. And so I got this Bible when I was in third grade. It is not my only Bible anymore, but I have hung on to it because I love it so much. Okay, what I really love about it is it's got really cool watercolors in it. The Bibles that we give out, that's not even watercolor, that's like marker. But most of it is just words and maps. And what I did with this Bible and what I'm remembering about it today is that when I was in worship services, when I was a third grader and up, there was that part in the middle where the preacher would talk. You know what that is, a sermon, right? Yeah. And let me tell you, those sermons sometimes go on, right? And so I would read, and I read a lot of the book of Revelation during those sermons, which I don't necessarily recommend, to be real honest, but I did. It's a great book in the Bible. It's also really complicated and sometimes scary. But what I loved about it and what I remember about reading the book of Revelation is that it talked about all of these different city names, and I could recognize some of the names of the cities. There's even a city in the book of Revelation called Philadelphia. Turns out it's not the one in Pennsylvania. But I would read especially this, but I'd read some of the rest of it too. And I just loved reading these stories. And you know what? I still love reading these stories. And we're going to talk today about how we, as Presbyterians, read these stories and make sense of them. So Ryan's going to read us a story from the New Testament about the church needing to decide something, and they look at the Bible to figure out how to do that. So I'm going to invite you to stay right here for the scripture reading, and then at the end of the scripture reading, I'll send you back to your seats.
Then certain individuals came down to Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after all of Barnabas had no small concession to make with him, all of Barnabas and some of the others were going to go up to Jerusalem and discuss the question with the apostles and the elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised in order to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders went together and considered this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said, "My brothers, you know that in the early days of God made a choice among you, that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in closing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now therefore, why are you putting God to test by placing him on the neck of the disciples, you know, that neither our ancestors nor he nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." The whole assembly kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told all the signs and wonders God had done.
After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simon has related after this, I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen from its ruins, and I will rebuild it, and I will set it up, so that all other people may seek the Lord, and even all Gentiles, over whom our name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago. Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write that to them and abstain only from things polluted by idols, and from fornication, and from whatever has been strangled, and from blood. For in every city for generations past, Moses has had those who proclaim him, for he has been read aloud every Sabbath in the synagogues. Thanks be to God."
Well, we're changing things. We have a new moment in our worship service today, one that you're not necessarily expecting unless you've been reading ahead in the order of service. We have a reading, or a couple of readings, short ones, from the Presbyterian Book of Confessions. This goes with a series that we're beginning here today about what makes being Presbyterian unique. What makes being Presbyterian unique? Now, there's not a huge amount that makes being Presbyterian super unique. There are not huge divisions between Christian denominations these days. We share a lot of common beliefs, but we have some unique emphases in how we think about the faith, how we approach the faith. But you know, sometimes there are a few loud voices out there that make it sound like there is just only one way you can possibly be Christian, and that can make the whole religion sound bad. And so I'm using a resource that was actually originally developed for college students who may be encountering something like Presbyterianism for the very first time to talk about, here's the way that Presbyterians live out the gospel and live out our relationship with God. And so this is stuff that's probably good for all of us to get to remember. So this Book of Confessions that we're about to read just a little bit from, this collects some of the important points about being Presbyterian. These are some statements of faith that describe what our faith tradition finds to be the most important. And the words in these Book of Confessions are all subject to the authority of this Bible. But that Bible is a complicated book, is it not? And so the confessions help kind of frame how can we read the Bible coherently and faithfully within our tradition. And today's confessions are actually about exactly that question. How do we read the Bible? How do we know that we are reading the Bible right? Reading the Bible in a way that is faithful to the God who is made known to us in Jesus Christ. So here's one from these are both from the 16th, 17th centuries. These are some old language. This is the Second Helvetic Confession, written in Switzerland. And it says this: "We hold that interpretation of the scripture to be orthodox and genuine, which is gleaned from the scriptures themselves, that is, from the nature of the language in which they were written, likewise according to the circumstances in which they were written down and expounded in the light of like and unlike passages and of many and clearer passages, and which agree with the rule of faith and love and contributes much to the glory of God and humanity's salvation." So we pay attention to the language that Scripture was written in, the time and historical setting that it was written in, and the overall witness of what Scripture says. And from the Westminster Confession, The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for God's own glory, humanity's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture, or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of humanity. Nevertheless, we acknowledge the inward illumination of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are received in the Word. And so we take Scripture as authoritative. We take Scripture as effectively complete. It doesn't tell us everything there is to know, but it tells us everything we need to know about who God is. And we can only understand properly what Scripture is saying to us with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another part of being Presbyterian. Another part of being Presbyterian is that I am not the only or even the best expert on what the Bible says, or certainly on how we are to live and be in the world. And so as Presbyterians, we share leadership with each other. And so our elders who are serving on session are going to participate in these sermons with us. So you've already met our elder for the day, Ryan Albers. Ryan is in his third year on Covenant's session, at least for this go-round. He's been a member at Covenant since, I believe, 2001. Is that right? Was it 99? 99. I'm sorry. I underaged you by a couple years. Yeah. Ryan is our liaison to the fellowship committee. He sings in the choir. He teaches the Bible lesson on Wednesday evenings for Covenant's kids. And he was a group leader at VBS just a couple of weeks ago. Just a few of the places that Ryan has been involved in the life of the church. So Ryan, we're talking about the Bible today. What's the Bible mean to you?
Excellent. The Bible is the foundation of my belief system. Obviously, I received my Bible, first Bible in third grade as well, and then later on, I was confirmed. And really, it's part of
who I am, how I died, what's right and wrong in my life. And so it's really very foundational. I'm lucky to have that to help me make decisions in my life. And how I raise my family, how I interact with other people, those sorts of things. Did I pass?
You did great.
All right.
So the Bible is, as you said, it's the foundation.
It's the way that you decide what is right and
what's wrong. The way that we make sense of our belief system. And the Bible is a complicated book.
It is.
And there are a lot of different ideas and understandings that we can take from the Bible. And you and I don't always read the Bible in exactly the same way.
We disagree often.
Yeah. And I love that. And often when we disagree, we are both correct about what we're reading.
We are. More often me than you, but yes.
Now there are some Christians who want to say that you can only read the Bible in a really sort of rigid, literal sense, that there is, here's what the words say, that's all it can possibly mean. And I gotta say, Ryan, I couldn't be a Christian if that was the only way that a person could read the Bible. I actually know a lot of atheists who read the Bible in exactly that literal way, and because they're reading it in that literal way, they say, well, nothing in this book could possibly be true.
Yes, yes, I find that too. People that don't believe in religion can read more scripture back to me than I can.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But it's not the only option, is it?
Correct.
So the Bible is full of metaphor and poetry, and I will say, I'll say to you, and then I'll let you take a seat in just a second, and then I get to call you up again later.
No.
But often I think that that really literal reading of the Bible actually misses the point of a lot of what the passages in the Bible are actually trying to get at.
Yeah, to me the Bible leaves a lot up to your own personal interpretation, right? It's not an arbitrary sort of thing. It's something that you read and then you decide how it fits your life.
Yeah. And the Reverend Dr. John Williams, no relation, who put together the study guide that we're going to be working from. Benji, why don't you take us one slide ahead so folks don't feel like they have to keep reading those words. A couple more slides. Go to the picture. There you go. Perfect. So the Reverend Dr. John Williams, who prepared the study guide on how the study guide is called Why Are Presbyterians Like That, which I'm sure you've asked often. He writes, Presbyterians take the Bible seriously. We don't worship the Bible, but we worship the God we meet in the Bible. Presbyterians don't always agree. We don't all emphasize the same passages in the same way, but just like Ryan and I do, we keep going back to the Bible to have our discussions about which things matter more than other things. And there's value in having that common authoritative set of texts that give us vocabulary and categories for those conversations about how best to be faithful in the changing circumstances we find ourselves in. And it's not just about having any arbitrary set of words to reflect on and debate over. We also believe that by the Holy Spirit, we are able to actually see God or hear God speak to us through the Bible. John Calvin, who is sort of the founder of our theological tradition, actually compared the Bible to a pair of eyeglasses. And he said that if you look at the world through the Bible, it brings everything about the world into focus so that we can clearly see who God is, what God is doing in the world around us. And so the Bible works actually hand in hand with other kinds of knowledge, other ways of understanding the world, other sources of evidence about the world. So the Bible is not a scientific text. It's not a history book, at least in the way that we think about history books today. But what the Bible does is it gives us a lens so that we can see a little bit more clearly how God is at work in the world of the Bible, and especially in the world today. So we read this passage from Scripture about the early church trying to figure out the answer to a question, and they turned to the Bible in order to do that. So the question was whether Gentile converts to the Christian faith have to become Jewish in order to belong to the Christian faith. So the apostles Peter and Paul, you heard from both of them during the scripture reading, they had both gone a long way off book. And so they were breaking dietary norms and they were baptizing people who didn't identify as Jewish. And there were protectors of the tradition who stood up and cried foul and said, I don't know that you can do that because the scripture clearly says that if you are going to be one of God's people, you need to keep the law, the ritual identification of who you are as one of God's people. And so if we're going to read the Bible literally, the protectors of tradition actually had the much simpler case to make there. But Peter and Paul said, God is doing something else here. God is doing something bigger here. Not bigger than the Bible, but bigger than what you're seeing there. God is clearly at work among these Gentiles who are joining the church already. And don't a lot of our questions within the church come down to, on the one hand, there's a tradition that we want to have stay coherent, and on the other hand, there is this grace of God that is out there crossing the boundaries that we had already set up. And a lot of churches split over exactly that kind of question. Because it's not a trivial question, it's a really deep question about the relationship that we have with the God we meet in the Bible. And so we're reading the story today because it's a story about how the church is not just throwing out everything that has come before because it doesn't seem to fit. Instead, here's the church searching for what matters. And the way they search is at a meeting. See, I told you this was Presbyterian, right? So they have a meeting, and the church comes closer to each other. They face the differences in what they're seeing and the ways that they're evaluating what they see. And they talk to each other, and they listen to each other. They listen to perspectives that are not their own. They try to understand where God is at work, and how would we know that God is at work, and what do we see God doing? So the text uses the words debate and discuss. And I try not to quote the Greek back to you very often, but the word actually underneath there is search. Is search. The church comes together with all their differing perspectives, understandings, and ideas, and they search for what God is doing, not to try to prove their own point, but to find God's will. And so, finally, the Apostle James, who appears to be moderating this meeting, sums up this debate with a new reading of some verses from Amos chapter 9, because he found in this passage from a long time before the church was identified as the church, he found a way that God might be speaking to the church in his own time. And he found a passage that had nothing to do with this question of, do we need to keep the law or do we not? Instead, he found a new place where the biblical witness and the experience of the church, they intersected. He found these words about rebuilding God's people, including the Gentiles. And this is a strange and new and different interpretation, and it's applied to a context that Amos never saw coming, without ignoring what Amos originally meant. But the Holy Spirit was at work right there in that moment. And the Holy Spirit pointed to that passage as something that is entirely consistent with who God is throughout the whole Bible, and entirely consistent with who God is among us today. And so we take the way that James interpreted that passage, we take that extra seriously because it's in our Bible now. But everybody at that meeting, including James himself, was just a human being like you and me. And they had the same Holy Spirit that we have among us today. So here's what's Presbyterian about how that early church read the Bible. There were questions about how the Bible and the world around us fit together, because the Bible frames our approach to truth. It is the foundation for how we understand the world, but we also know that our lived experience in the world is also real. And the early church approached those questions through debate for the purpose of discernment, to hold a lot of different perspectives together so that we could see a fuller picture. And they found new meaning in that scripture. Without ignoring what the text already said, they found more meaning in there because they were searching for God who is with us today. So, Ryan, where would you say that Covenant lives out that Presbyterian relationship with the Bible in our life together today?
Well, I think there's a lot of great answers to that, but we'll stick with just the fact that we're very open to new folks coming to our church. We're very open to whatever their stories are, and we welcome them, and we make sure that they feel that they're part of what we do. We do this in a number of ways. Our services today, obviously with Vacation Bible School, we welcome all kinds of folks in, and we're very happy to share our beliefs with them. So that's probably the best answer to your question.
Terrific. Thank you. And that is good news for today. And now, a moment for mission.
We'd like to invite you to get to know Gary Hansen, who's the new director of Cross Ministries. Cross started about 50 years ago, and believe it or not, some of us were present for that in this congregation. It was started at Cottage Grove, and since that time, there's only been three directors, two of which spent the longest amount of time there. So anyway, this event is going to be at Central Presbyterian Church on Grand Avenue from 5:30 to 7 this coming Wednesday. It's a come-and-go event. There will be refreshments. And at 6:15, Gary will give a short presentation. Now, some of you wonder what may be, you know, newer to our church or not familiar with Cross. But Cross, the original words were Christians reaching out, seeking to serve. That's where the Cross statement came from. And let's see, it's a homeless prevention program. And so people who are in, find themselves in emergency situations of being homeless, you know, maybe they've been, they're going to be thrown out of their apartment. What are you going to do with their stuff? So one of the things that Cross can do is provide storage costs. There are people who find that they're going to be, their electricity is going to be shut off, or their water, their utilities. And so Cross can come up with an emergency help for that. And rent and mortgage, or rent assistance, is another big need in this community. And they receive, you know, several hundred requests for assistance every week. And of course, you can't meet all the needs, but you can try. And we partner, Cross partners with other organizations to help people out. And every August, we have a back to school giveaway. And I know many people in this congregation have volunteered and helped with that. In the past, there was a food pantry, and again, people from this church volunteered for that. So Cross has evolved into doing different things through the years, and it's still a vital partnership for us. Now, you might wonder, it's entirely financed by donations, by churches, by individuals, and you might say, well, you know, we've got government programs for that. Why Cross? Well, Cross, you know, is there an emergency? You know, if you're in a government program, you have to apply. It takes time. But with Cross, the individual is considered. And if you have an emergency, you can be assisted, you know, once a year. And this has made a big difference to a lot of people. So anyway, thanks for listening. And I hope to see you on Wednesday.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.